Will you open your Bibles, please, to the 14th chapter of the book of Joshua? As you open your Bibles to that portion of the Word of God which we are studying together, you will call to mind that we have been thinking about the occupation of the land of Canaan by the Israelites and have been endeavoring to find the spiritual lessons to apply to our own pilgrim journey and claiming the victories which Christ has provided for each one of us. If you have your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 14, you will notice in the latter part of chapter 14 a truth that is carried all the way through the 19th chapter. Joshua is allotting the land to the Israelites. We will notice in our study in this broadcast and subsequent ones the procedure of allotting the land. And as we do, we will notice that that procedure is interrupted several times over. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, the man of God began to apportion the allotment to Judah, the leading tribe in Israel. But all he did was call them before him, and before he had a chance to say anything to them at all, he was interrupted. That interruption constitutes our story. So, I would like for you to follow in your Bibles, if possible, as we read the story, get the facts in our minds, and then learn the lessons or lessons that God would have us learn from it. This is Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent unto me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, I would like for you to turn to chapter 15, because the sequel to the story is found there. As I mentioned, the land is being allotted. There were interruptions. Caleb interrupted to make his claim, and then, in the first verse of chapter 15, the allotment to the tribe of Judah was again resumed. Then in chapter 15, verse 13, we read something else about Caleb. That we may not have time to consider both portions in this particular broadcast, I would like for you to have them before you so that you can recognize the continuity of them. So we read from Joshua chapter 15, verse 13, And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arbor, the father of Anak, which is the city in Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Achsor, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Achsor, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldst thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now, these two paragraphs represent the basis for our meditation of the moment. I would like to suggest to you, as I read these passages of Scripture, that I never read them without being reminded of a New Testament phrase. And since we are relating the Old Testament story to New Testament truth, in this portion, as well as others, we would like to call to your attention that particular phrase. The phrase is the reward of the inheritance. The reward of the inheritance. I never think about Caleb and what happened to him without calling to mind the verse that is recorded in Colossians chapter 3. You might like to turn there if you have your New Testaments and let this portion of the Word of God speak to your heart in this New Testament sense. Verse 22 is the conclusion of a statement concerning obedience. Colossians 3:22, Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And then in verse 23, And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive, notice the phrase, the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now notice particularly, whatsoever you do, whatever you have to do as a child of God, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And why? Because you will receive the reward of the inheritance, knowing that you will receive the reward of the inheritance is the insurance that God gives to you. The reward of the inheritance. Exactly what is it? Well, I would like for you to turn to another passage of Scripture that comes to mind. The First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be you are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, you may wonder why I have read this paragraph with you as we study the story of Caleb. I'm going to share with you some of the key phrases in the paragraph so that you will be able to recognize the thought as we talk about them. In the Colossian passage, keep in mind the phrase, heartily, as to the Lord. And from the Colossian passage as well, keep in mind the phrase, the reward of the inheritance. That's the inheritance you will receive as a reward for what you have done. Notice, as Peter comments on the things that Paul was talking about in the Colossian letter, he says that this inheritance cannot fade away. It cannot dwindle up. It can't dwindle away. It can't shrink up. And the reason for it is reserved in heaven for you, for me, for every believer. If you keep in mind these particular phrases as we think about this portion in Joshua, I think you will be able to relate the Old Testament story to the New. There are a few others that I would like for you to fix in your mind as well in relation to the reward of the inheritance. From the 1 Peter passage again, kept by the power of God. You recognize that this phrase does not refer to the inheritance. It refers to the heir. It refers to the individual who is to have the inheritance. In the terms of our Old Testament story, it refers to Caleb. Are you a Caleb? God has an inheritance reserved for you. It will not fade away. Nothing will happen to you until you have the inheritance God has for you as well. Now, of course, if we limit this only to that spiritual inheritance which we will receive when we stand at the throne of grace, we know that nothing can happen to us. But I want you to be a little bit more earthly-minded and recognize that God has some good things in store for you on this earth. And what He has planned for you, He will carry out. He will keep the plan intact until you are able to receive it. And He will keep you intact until He is able to accomplish His purpose. Now, Peter said, with this truth in mind, you greatly rejoice. Well, you remember that. You don't rejoice in the situation any more than Caleb rejoiced in the 40 years of wilderness wandering. He rejoiced in the fact that God said, I've got an inheritance for you. Now this time of rejoicing will be on a temporary backdrop of trial, or perhaps I should say a backdrop of temporary trial. The phrase, now for a season. Notice it. Even though now for a season your faith is tried. I like that phrase, now for a season. It isn't permanent or lasting. The trial, that is. It's only for a little while. And soon you will receive the end of your faith. Now, I can't think of a better way of summarizing what we're going to find here in Joshua 14 and 15 than what I have shared with you up to this moment. And so we'll want to be looking at this passage of Scripture in Joshua and see how many New Testament truths are actually illustrated in this Old Testament story. And the marvelous thing about spiritual truth is that you will find the Holy Spirit drawing to your attention things that He didn't draw to mine for whatever reason, and the blessing of sharing the Word of God becomes a reality. So let us meet around the Word again tomorrow at this time and see what good things God has in store for us. I hope you'll be able to be with us.